I am really excited about this morning. I do think that it is something from the Lord, and I do think that it is something that is going to bring us into greater health as a body, and I think that we're going to reflect Jesus better. I'm going to be speaking about accountability and living accountable lives. And I know that initially the response to that might be a bit of heebie-jeebies, and we don't like that because we've seen it abused or we feel like it's controlling or whatever. And there was a whole lot of stuff that God worked out in my heart, and Anson and I have chatted through it, but in leading up to this, there was a whole lot of pride that actually had to die in me before getting up here. And I got to the point where I said, you know what, God, I have nothing to gain by preaching this message. And I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm not going to achieve anything. Nobody's going to necessarily hold me in higher regard, or I'm not gaining from this. And I actually felt the Lord correct me when I was sitting here this morning, and I felt like he said, no, Ian, you have everything to gain. Because as the church walks in accountability, we reflect Jesus better. And as the church reflects Jesus, together we walk into our inheritance. There is a very clear picture in the Bible of us being a body. And as a body, if one part suffers, all suffer. And I felt the Lord correct me. And I want to say, if this is something we take to heart, together we will walk into our inheritance in the Lord. And if one part suffers, we're all going to suffer. So please, open your hearts. As I said, I'm not preaching for personal gain, but I do think that it will impact us. Yeah, so to kick it off, quick question. Who knows what the name 412 comes from? We're part of 412 partnering churches. I see a hand. What does it relate to? Ephesians 4:12, good stuff. And what does it say? God gave the fivefold gifts to the body for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And so he's given the gifts for a purpose. The purpose is that we together are equipped. But it goes even further after that in verse 13, and it says, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and so we can grow to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it's not giving gifts just for the sake of it. There's a purpose behind it. He wants us to grow up into maturity in Christ. And I think that this topic of accountability and walking our lives out in the open with other people is one of the practical ways that we do achieve that. So I've got a couple of questions I'm going to look through today for them. Firstly, what is accountability? Secondly, why do we need it? Thirdly, what gets in the way? And then I'm going to look at a couple of practical things, because heart and head knowledge without actually applying it is pretty unhelpful. So, yeah, simple truth. I really don't think it's going to be anything fancy, but if we catch this, we're going to reflect Jesus as well. So before I jump in, I just want to share a little bit of my story with you guys. I have had the privilege of building more deeply with some and more intentionally with some, but obviously not everybody knows me. So my name is Ian, and this is my wife, Nutwormy, married 2.5 months, and it's been the best 2.5 months of my life, and very lucky to have Nutwormy's folks here, my new parents-in-law, Envia and Louise, or Papa and Mama for me, or Worm and Tani for Yella. But yeah, so the reason I'm in Cape Town is because Nutwormy is here and she's still studying. I initially grew up in Port Elizabeth and the Lord kind of strategically imported me so I could come and find my girl. But I grew up in Port Elizabeth. I was a little chokerki growing up in the Storehouse Church. It's the same church that Andrew planted Josh Chen out of and that Brad planted Oxygen Life out of. And yeah, my family love the Lord. All of them are running hard for Jesus. And it's the most incredible privilege to have grown up in that family and to have had the input and the discipleship and the love that I had there. But in high school, my heart actually got really hardened towards the Lord. There was a whole lot of personal or secret sin that I was struggling with, and nothing was in the light. And I felt completely trapped. I felt completely hopeless. And there was stuff that I was carrying from when I was a youngster as well. And to be honest, I actually loathed myself. I felt like I was unlovable. I felt like I was completely unworthy of anybody else's love as well. And so because I had this critical view of myself, that same criticism flowed onto everybody else, and I was really hard in the way that I spoke. But I was still sort of part of the church to some extent. My heart wasn't there, but because my family was there, I'd go to the meetings. And so I'd hear the gospel preached over and over, and I would see guys coming to greet me and really try and rope me in. They were super friendly, like, hey, Ian, how's it going, bro? Back slaps, grabbing me, and I saw these big smiles, and I just thought, you guys are fake. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Because I didn't think that I was lovable. I didn't think that there was anything worth loving. So when they loved me, I just thought, it can't possibly be the truth. And so I was shut off. My heart was so hardened. And end of matric, I was part of a holiday club at church. And I was an underling leader. I was a little minion, kind of just fetching and carrying and doing things. And I was doing a little bit of acting. I think it was a Turbo. Do you guys remember the snail, the super fast snail movie, Turbo? It was a turbo-themed holiday club, and I did some skits and stuff, and it was amazing. I just threw myself in there, and it was probably one of the most pivotal weeks of my life, because I saw at the end of that week the way that the leaders loved Jesus, loved the kids, and loved me was exactly the same as it did at the beginning of the week. Even though they were absolutely exhausted, even though they had minimal sleep, minimal food, they had given themselves in every possible way, they'd given themselves. And I looked into their eyes and I saw the same love. Same love that I saw on a Sunday. And for the first time, something like just broke open for me. I realized, these guys actually do love me. And I think of Matt Smith Belton specifically. He was the leader in our age group. And if I think of his eyes, I just see the love of Jesus pouring through him. At that time, he was just a young man loving the Lord. I don't think he had a title or anything, but he was leading that age group. He's now an elder in the church. But that cracked my heart open so that for the first time I could go, maybe there's something here. Maybe there is hope for me. Maybe I am, not that there's value in me, but if this is God's people, maybe that's God's heart as well. Maybe I'm seeing something of him. And something shifted, and I just said, God, I've known that I'm a sinner. I've known that I'm lost. I've known that I'm far from you. But I didn't have hope that there was anything that could change. And for the first time, I said, I've got hope. And I bowed the knee to Jesus, and I said, God, you have it all. I'm not holding on to my life anymore. And I surrendered to him, and I threw my life into the church to the point where it was no longer distinguishable. I couldn't separate my life from the local church. And what had happened was so significant. God had caused me to be born again by his Spirit. And in Romans 6, it says that we have died with Christ and that we are now risen with him. In 2 Corinthians, it says that if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. It says the old has gone and the new has come. And that is what happened with me. The old was gone and the new had come. But I wasn't perfect yet. I'm still not perfect. I still had a whole lot of nonsense that I needed to work out of my life. I was still sinful. And so Paul says to us in Ephesians 4, he says, we are to put off the old self. So you've got these two truths. One is that God has made me a new creation. And the other is that there is still a bit of chif that needs to be worked out of the system. How does that work? And so there's a spiritual aspect and there is also a practical aspect. So we do this by the power of his Spirit. But I'm going to focus on the accountability part, which is one of those practical ways that we put off the old self. And I want to say living accountable lives is one of the key ways that we respond to the work of the Holy Spirit and one of the key ways that we partner with him. So in prepping for this, Anson and I were chatting, and he gave me a couple of things to look through, one of them being an article from the 412 website, which is on how to live accountable lives. And they hit a couple of key points. They talk about building honest, transparent relationships that are grounded in genuine love. And they talk about finding intentional and tenacious accountability partners and how we can be more self-aware and reflective so that our hearts can be set more on fire for Jesus. So I'm going to be focusing on a couple of those things. But Kevin, if you could throw up John 13, verse 34 to 35. There we go. So I'm going to just read off the board. And it says, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And that's kind of my launching point for today, is that accountability is rooted in genuine love. It's grounded in genuine love. My motivation for wanting to talk about accountability is if I see anybody struggling with sin, if I see anybody that's weighed down, if I see anybody that's being distracted or drawn away by poor thinking or poor understanding of who God is, my heart goes, I want to do everything that I can to bring you back. I want to do everything that I can to encourage you so that you won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Nothing about this comes from me wanting to control or the leaders wanting to control or be oppressive or anything. It's going, I want you to run in the things of God. And if I see something holding you back, I will do whatever I can to see you get breakthrough. And I've experienced that. I've been on the receiving end. I talked about secret sin. In high school, I was neck deep in pornography. There was no ways I could find freedom by myself. It was hopeless. But when I brought that into the light and started, when I threw my life into the church and into accountable relationships, guys came alongside me and they said, Ian, we're going to do whatever it takes to see you get victory. And there were some really hard decisions I had to make, some very inconvenient things that I had to do in order to find victory, but they were walking that thing out with me and I did find breakthrough. And I praise the Lord for that I can be married to that woman, and I can say that in finding breakthrough, I went into my marriage, God had redeemed me, and he'd brought a purity back so that I could give myself to her properly. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for godly men who told me what I needed to hear and not just the things that I wanted to hear. quick little diversion. If a parent, I mean, if there are a lot of parents here, but if your kid just wants to eat cereal every single day, three meals a day, and don't want to eat the veggies, what do? You say, I'm sorry, no. Maybe cereal once a day. But then you're going to eat your veggies, and you're going to make sure you get some meat, and you're going to get a balanced diet, because the parent knows what is best for the kid. If we just let the kids eat cereal each day, we'd have unhealthy, weak, sick kids. And it's the same thing when it comes to accountability. Is people need to hear what they need and not just what they want. And so from our side, as those who are being receiving this, get ready. Like, we need that. And actually be open to it. Don't think this is something forced down your throat. Go, God, I need the real food. I need real food. So, yeah, question one, what is accountability? And this is my understanding, but I'm just going to read from my page. It says, I have one life to live, and when it's done, it's done. I'm going to stand before God and give an account for how I used it, whether I honored him with it or squandered it, whether I elevated Jesus or elevated myself, whether I submitted to his ways and became more like him or held on to sin and the pleasures of this world instead. Accountability is walking openly with godly men, fathers and brothers in the faith, who will hold me to account now so that I'm ready when I face him on that day. Accountability is a gift of God to me. It is a means of his grace. And that is something I want to emphasize. Accountability is a gift of God to us. It's not something that he forces on us. Praise God for godly men who will tell me what I need to hear now so that I'm ready to meet Jesus that day. And so that I don't meet him and go, God, I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed of the life that I live. I'm so ashamed that I held on to those things. Praise God for godly men. And that's for me. Obviously, if you're a lady, you're going to be walking more closely with ladies. But that's for me what it means. And a couple of the things that the article highlighted that I'd like to just run through is that accountability has to be honest and transparent. It has to be relational. And it has to be intentional. And so for what each of those things to me is, honesty and transparency just means I'm not going to give a picture to you that is not the true reflection of me. If Ants ask me how I'm doing and I say, hey, Brew, everything's lacquer, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but I'm dying of anxiety at work, he can't really give me any meaningful input because I haven't actually given him the truth. Honesty is going, this is who I am, bam, there it's on the table. And then it gives him, it's way more accessible for him to actually bring useful input. And transparency is basically just saying, like, I'm going to let you see all the way in. I'm going to let you see into the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's just, here it is. And I just want to quickly mention a friendship that we've been so enjoying is Matt and Danny. So Naomi and I as a couple. And Matt mentioned something. We were just chatting over supper a couple of weeks back. And he said, man, a couple once told us, just be aware when you start leading into a meeting, like a church meeting or a comm meeting, you might just find you get really frustrated with your spouse. And I never get frustrated with Naomi because she is an angel and never do. I'm just joking. Yeah. But yesterday, for some weird reason, I just started to feel like, hey, I'm just getting frustrated, like little things. And I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. And I was like, I remember what Matt said. Be aware of that thing. And it was so helpful. He didn't come in like, hey, listen, I'm Mr. Big Cheese and I'm going to tell you how stuff is, you know. It's just friendship. But he was able to give me useful input because he actually saw where we were. And I could use that, and it really helped. Because when it popped up yesterday, I said, I'm going to catch that thing. I'm not going to listen to it. Quickly, relational. It's not a business transaction. I'm not sitting across the table and going, okay, here, I'm going to fill out a form, and I'm going to sign these things, and I'm going to tick all the boxes of everything I've done wrong, and then slide you the paper, and then you kind of appraise it in some way and come to a conclusion. That's not it at all. It's supposed to be built on friendship, because that's where you build trust, that's where you build deeper. And Ants mentioned the bridge. You take a 20-ton truck over a 20-ton bridge, and that's essentially the truth that you can bring into that relationship, is how much can it take? And relationship is how we build that bridge. And then the last one there is that it is intentional, and I want to say this very clearly. Accountability is our responsibility. So when I'm standing up here, I want to say accountability is your responsibility. And when I'm sitting here, I'm going to say accountability is my responsibility. It's not the leaders. Don't wait for the leaders to come and chase you and say, hey, try and pull things out of you. I think that's the hardest job, probably for a leader, to sit down and feel like they're pulling teeth because they just can't get anything out of you. Let's make it easy. Let's be people that are easy to lead. Let's take ownership of this thing and say, if I want what Ants has, I'm going to go after him and say, Ants, can we hang out? There's something on your life that I don't have and I want it. If I see something in Gunther's life, I go, Gunther, there's something in your life and I want it. I'm taking ownership of it. Accountability is my responsibility. So that is, firstly, what is accountability? Then, why do we need it? And for me, it's two basic things. It's firstly, that we will guard against sin. And secondly, that we will run in the things of God. So, Hebrews 3:13, you can pop that up on the board as well. It says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So when I was in high school, I was hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I was completely trapped. My heart had been led astray. And if we let sin remain, our hearts become calloused. God tries to convict, and he convict and convict. But if we push back over and over and over, we can actually sear our consciences. And that's a very, very scary place to be. And in order to guard against that, it says we have to encourage each other daily. So if I'm living openly with you guys, and you can see, yes, man, Ian is struggling, please encourage me. Please, like, pop me a message, get hold of me. And the same goes for me. If I see you're struggling, I want to get hold of you and say, you can do this, come on. Put your eyes on Jesus. He's the one that's going to save. He's the one that's going to bring you through. He's the one that your hope ultimately is in. Like in Hebrews 12, it talks about throwing aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, running the race with endurance and setting our eyes on Jesus. And that's what we want to do. And we need to encourage each other to do that. And so accountability guards against sin. Let's not, also I just want to hit one thing really quickly, where people say, but my sin is my sin. Or it's like, it's my personal issue. It doesn't affect anybody else. And just going back to that picture of the body, your sin affects me, even if I have no idea about it, and even if nobody else in the congregation has any idea about it, your sin affects us. And we can't walk into the things of God while there is sin that is hidden. So let's take this thing seriously. If one part suffers, all suffer. For the sake of this body, let's walk in accountability. Let's bring that stuff into the light, and let's honor Jesus with our lives. And then under why do we need it, second point is so that we can walk into God's purposes. And the verse there is 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 to 21. And it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart, holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So just like in the beginning, we were talking about Ephesians 4, that God has given these gifts to equip the saints. It was for a purpose. It's so that we could become mature in Christ, that we could attain to the fullness of Christ. And here we see the same thing, that cleansing ourselves from what is dishonorable, it's for a purpose. Living an accountable life is for a purpose. It's so that we can be useful to God. Because I don't want to be like, I don't want to have secret sin, and then God gets me up here and I start preaching, and then that starts to affect the body. Or maybe he just says, Ian, actually, I'm going to pass you by. I'm not going to use you. I'm sorry. I can't trust you because there's stuff in your life that has not been dealt with. So if we want to be useful to God, we have to take this thing seriously and say, God, change me. Make me more like you. I want to be holy as you are holy. That's actually his call to each one of us. And then the third question that I wanted to chat about is practically what gets in the way? If we know what accountability is and we know why we need it, then why don't we do it? And a couple of points there. Firstly, insecurity. Then pride. And then there could be a couple of practical things. And so I had a lot of insecurity. The Lord really had to deal with me. When I started bringing stuff into the light, I was petrified that I'd face rejection and judgment. And that actually is what kept me trapped for a long time. And I think the enemy will throw those things in there. Oh, you could never tell that thing. You can share this, but you can never share that. And he says, no, you'll never be accepted. My experience was that when I shared that stuff and I found the incredible, sincere love of the body for me, it just broke me. I didn't realize that I could be that loved. When people saw me at my weakest and my most gunky, and they said, Ian, we love you anyway. We're going to support you anyway. They didn't love me because I was perfect. They said, we're loving you towards being perfect, towards being like Jesus. So if there's any insecurity, let's just remove that thing from the equation. If you feel like, I wouldn't want to bother the leaders. You know, sometimes you can even feel like, I wouldn't want to bother God. You know, surely they've got more important things. Like, I couldn't possibly do that. Let's go back to the cross. God sent his son. God, the creator, sent his son to earth in the form of a servant so that he could live the perfect life and die for us. so that he could die on a cross, so that we could be taken from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. I think God wants to be bothered. I think this is a big deal to him. I don't think he's going, oh, again, seriously? I don't think so. He has gone to exceptional lengths to see us restored. And if that's the heart of God, then surely that's the heart of those he puts in place to look after his church. Surely that's the heart of his leaders as well. And so if you believe a lie that says, I couldn't possibly bother them, I wouldn't want to be an inconvenience, recognize that thing for what it is. That is a lie from the enemy, and it's not at all representative of God's heart or the heart of his leaders. And then the second thing there, under what gets in the way, is pride. And this one is a sneaky one. I had a lot of pride that I had to get killed this week. I didn't know it was there, but it popped up. I've been chatting to Ants about it, and God came and just cut that thing off. But there was also my choice to partner with him in it. He highlighted it, and I felt like he stepped back and said, Ian, what are you going to do? Are you going to hold on to that thing, or are you going to choose me? And I was wrestling. I promise you guys, it was so hard. I had to lay this thing down and got to a point where I said, okay, God, I can't hold on to this anymore. Please change me. And I went for a walk. It was during a work day. And while I was walking, I just felt it lift. I'd been wrestling for quite a few days, and I just felt it lift in a moment. And God said, okay, I see your heart. Let's go. I'm taking this thing from you. And I think the danger is when we start to think, hey, but I've been around. I've been a Christian for a while. I mean, I know some stuff. You know, who are you? Who are you, Ants, to talk to me? Who are you, Matt? You know, you don't have a title. You know, we're actually on the same level, you and me. Or maybe I'm even a little bit more, you know, whatever. Yeah. But that's a really dangerous place to be as well. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2, it says, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. So if you find yourself saying, hey, but I know some stuff, just be careful. Maybe you don't yet know as you ought to know. And God can speak through leaders, and he does. God can speak through peers, and he does. And God can speak through people who are way less mature than us. People who we would think, oh, never, not this person. God speaks to them. And I'm going to quickly just jump into a story from my past. So I'm one of four boys. I'm the second. And when I think I was in high school somewhere, probably end of high school, I was playing Xbox, and I got really competitive. I would play online. I'd wait up until like 12, because that's when the line speeds got good, and I could be more competitive. Play between 12 and 2, and when I started losing, woo, it was bad. You would see my face would go red, and I'd get so angry. I'd start complaining, and inside I was swearing like crazy. I didn't swear outside, because I knew, you know, Christian family, you can't do that. But inside I was dropping every kind of swear word you can imagine. It was bad. And Robbie, who's my younger brother, he's 3 years younger than me, so I was probably in matric, and he was probably in grade 9. He said to me, Ian, if this is what it's doing to you, I don't think you should be playing Xbox. And what popped up to me was like, who do you think you are? I'm your older brother. I want a bit of respect here. Don't talk to me like that. Who do you think you are? Pride. That thing had to die. I had to go, I think he's right, actually. I think he's right. And I'll receive from him. And this is not in my notes, but subsequently, just to let you guys in a little bit on my story, I see the leadership gift that God has given Rob. There's a grace gift on his life. And I saw it and I just think, man, God is going to use him. And there was this little bit of awkwardness because he got saved a lot earlier than me. But I was still the older brother. And so it was kind of this thing of, how does it work now? Because he's actually spiritually more mature than me, but I'm older, you know? And I remember going to him one time and saying, Robbie, I recognize the grace gift on your life. I recognize the leadership that God's given you. And I'll come under that. And I'll submit to that. And I said, run hard for Jesus. Don't let the fact that I'm older in any way inhibit you. Don't think that I'm going to be intimidated. I want to see you running in everything God has for you. And I'll actually come under that. And he's had the freedom to speak into my life. I've had the freedom to speak into his life. We've had very frank conversations. And we've been like iron sharpening iron. I praise God for a younger brother who could call me out when I needed to be called out so that I didn't continue in the ways that I was going. I think about my mom as well. I remember one time in the kitchen, I used to be hard. Like I said, I would speak very critically. And my mom said, Ian, if you continue like this, you're going to crush your wife. And that thing completely broke me. I realized, man, I have to change. Praise God for a mother who would tell me the things that I needed to hear so that I could be married to not with me today, so that I could be a gentle and kind husband to her. If my mom hadn't brought that up, I don't know where I'd be right now. Praise God for people who will tell me what I need to hear. And then the last thing is, under what gets in the way, maybe we just don't know. Maybe we understand the theory, but then we go, but practically, how do I actually walk this out? And that brings me to the last question, which is, how do we do it? And this is really simple. And there's basically three steps. Find a godly man or woman who you trust and be intentional. Look around this congregation and just go, who can I trust to share my life with? Who has something that I want? Who carries something that I want to grow in? And be intentional. Just initiate with them. Just say, hey, I see something on your life. I want to be open with you. Can we walk this thing out together? So find a godly man or woman and initiate with them. And then tell them your story. Don't try and make it pretty. Don't try and present a picture of yourself that's not accurate. Just go, hey, this is who I am. This is my history. This is where I came from. This is how I grew up. This is the nonsense I got involved in. These are my hopes and my dreams. This is what I'm hoping for in the Lord. This is what I think he has for me. And all of it, just share it. Just be open. Don't pretend. And let's bat those lies from the enemy that says people won't accept you. They will, and they will love you. And if people get it wrong, be gracious with them. But if I look around this room, I'd say, I think we've got some amazing people here, and I think you will find yourself more loved than you expected. And then third thing. So firstly, it's find someone godly who you can trust. Second thing is tell them your story. And the third thing is ask for their input. Just say, hey, what do you see? And what do you see in my life? Where do you think I'm honoring God? Where do you think I'm not? Where am I missing it? Sometimes it's practical things. Sometimes those things are harder to bring up, actually. Like I'm going to use an example, sorry, at Matt and Danny yesterday, and we were talking about when, like if we sweat a lot and we start to smell bad, like, I need somebody to tell me that, hey, bro, you're not smelling so lacquer, you know? And now when we actually did it, before we drove out to go hang out with the parents, she said, you know, I think you need a bit of deo. Like, just... But it was because she didn't want me to get to a position where I was embarrassed. So she said, I'd rather tell you now. Then you go then and you're feeling awkward and you have to just shrink back and you can't engage the way that you want to. Thank you, Naomi, for telling me that I was a little bit stinky. And then keep asking. Ask for the input and ask again and ask again and ask again. And we grow in the things of God. So I am going to come into land there. I think I have gone a little bit over time. But if God has highlighted anything for you, if you feel like, hey, man, I have been insecure, that thing stood in the way, or I've been proud, actually, I haven't wanted to receive from people, or if you haven't practically known how it works, or maybe you haven't had, like, I had the privilege of a godly family to speak into my life, and you go, but I never had that. Well, all the more reason to find that in God's family. All the more reason to find that here. I think it's Paul, actually, in one of his letters, writes to a church, and he says, you have many guides, but you don't have fathers. And we need fathers, we need mothers, we need brothers and sisters in the Lord, people who will care for us, guide us, correct us, rebuke us, encourage us, the whole package. And so if God has convicted you of anything, I would love to pray with you. I would love, if any of those things stand out, could you stand and we can pray together? Let's close in prayer. So yeah, if any of those things stand out for you, please stand and we'll trust the Lord to move. And I think the last one as well is if you feel like you're trapped in sin, and you feel like me when I was in high school going, I just don't see a way out. You read that section where God says, be holy as I'm holy. And you go, God, I want to, but I don't know how. Please stand as well. God has given us the church. He's given us his body. And let's trust him. Jesus, firstly, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your blood. We thank you, God, for new life, for being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of your glorious Son. And God, we thank you for your body, for the church. We thank you for godly men and women who will love us, who will encourage us and tell us the things that they know we need and not just the things we want. God, forgive us where we've been insecure and let that stand in the way. Forgive us where we've been proud and let that stand in the way. Guide us, Lord God, in the practical things of how we do it. If it's awkward, help us, Lord. Help us. We want to honor you and reflect you well. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.